Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Thank you so much for your applause. You can sit down. That's very encouraging because I've never preached on this stage before. So thank you. Awesome. I hope all of the mothers here have felt honored today. I feel like Mother's Day is all about honoring, and I want to challenge every child in the room. I want to challenge you. Take some time to look your mom in the face and share with her what you love about her and honor her, truly honor her. You know, Mother's Day can become about the gifts and the, I got some really nice slippers this morning. And I was going to wear them actually, but I mean, Shannon looked at me with that like kind of look in his eyes. So I was like, okay, maybe not a good idea. Yeah, but I challenge you, look your mom in the eye, tell her why you love her. And I want to do that right now. I want to honor my mom for being such an amazing mother, for creating a safe space for me to live, for loving me, and for instilling encouragement and confidence in me so that I can be the woman I am today. So would you all give my mom a massive round of applause? I also want to honor mothers that may no longer be on earth with us today. I want to honor them for the legacy they've left behind. And for some of you, you might be struggling on this Mother's Day because someone who was a spiritual mum to you is no longer here. And we just, as a church, want to honor them today and thank them for the spiritual wars they fight, physical wars they fight, for the comforts that we have today. Amen. I also want to honor some people in the room today who may have gone on a journey of wanting to become a mum, and through infertility and other means may have that journey may be a hard one. And I want to honor you for taking the time before the Lord to go on that journey. And we in this room have no idea what you've been through, but we just want to honor you today because that's what Mother's Day is all about. Amen. Awesome. A little bit about me. I'm married to Pastor Shannon. After a year and a half of marriage, we were sent to Cambodia to start a nation's expression over there in Cambodia. And so we've been on that journey as a family. We said yes, and we committed to doing that as a family, and we're loving it over there. Personally, this is my second Mother's Day. Shannon and I had a girl, and we named her Shiloh. And she's lived most of her life in Cambodia, but we named her Shiloh because we actually wanted to speak something powerful over her. And Shiloh was the land that the tabernacle was placed at. And we believe that every time we speak her name, we're saying that she's someone where the presence of God is found. And that's my question for you guys today is, what are we speaking over the next generation? What are we teaching the next generation? I believe that we all have a responsibility to steward. And what Jesus does in us, we have a responsibility to steward it to the next generation. And I'm not just talking about mums and dads here tonight. I'm actually talking about spiritual parents. Actually, I became a mother at 18. No, nothing scandalous happened. Okay, for all of you dramatic people in this room. No, actually, I said yes to becoming a youth leader, a youth connect group leader. I led a group of grade 7 girls all the way to grade 12, and then I did it all over again. I became a spiritual mom. I'd only been saved maybe 6 months, and there was some things that God was doing in me that I just couldn't keep in anymore. And my youth pastor saw something in me that I didn't see, and I said yes to teaching and adopting these girls and giving them everything that the Lord was giving me. And I believe that's the same call for each of us. And I want to just pause for a second. If you're a non-believer in this room, let my story testify to you that you don't have to wait years and years. What the Lord, if you stop and listen and start listening to what the Lord is saying, it doesn't matter how long you've been in this church, how long you've been in the Lord, a believer, it's not limited by that. Okay, so what is spiritual parenting? Spiritual parents, to me, bring the hard word. They love unconditionally. They refrain from judgment. They're in their word. And they bring wisdom from the word, not just their personal testimony, but a testimony that aligns with the word. So, for me, spiritual parenting isn't something only some people are gifted at, but I believe it's a responsibility God has given all of us. It's the way he designed his kingdom on earth to work. Some of these examples of spiritual parenting would be biological parents, would be connect group leaders, would be new Christian mentors, would be men and women of prayer over individuals, over states, over nations, men and women in this room who fight on behalf of other people's salvations with truth and in prayer. There's been so many people who have been and are still spiritual parents in my life today. They've nurtured me into the woman I am today. I think of Pastor Ken and Chrissy, spiritual parents of Nations Church, of all of us. You know, that's a big burden to carry. And I can tell you that I've met people from all over the globe who have come from different churches whose spiritual parents, as the pastors of the church, have led them a little astray. And I take my hat off to these guys, because every time they take the pulpit or speak truth, they're speaking truth from the word over us. Amen. And that's what I see a spiritual parent as. I think of Clara. Maybe you all met Clara before. But I think of her because, you know, the moment I started coming along to Nations Youth at the time, I had no idea who this little Asian girl was. But I didn't have my license, and I needed a lift to youth every week to help serve, because that's what I wanted to do. And so I befriended her, and I got a lift out of her every week. And I can tell you that, man, she put up with a lot of questions from the Lord. I had so many questions from reading my word. I had so many questions about why we do this in church, why we do that in church. I grilled her from the moment I left my house to youth and back. And that's a spiritual parent, I can tell you right now. She nurtured me into the understanding of who God was and who God is in my life right now. And I want to encourage some young people in the room this morning to do the same. Yeah. All you have to do is start asking questions to the right people. Yeah. There's spiritual parents in the room waiting to fulfill the calling and steward that responsibility over your life. You just need to start asking the questions. Don't pretend like you know it all already. You know, I like to pretend that I knew it all, but even still today, I need to ask some serious questions constantly. I think of Ross Elford. I only just knew him, just started to get to know him over the last 4 months. And every time I walk into his house, he's dropping biblical bombs on me like no other man can. I believe it's because he's been in his word. He's been studying. He's been flicking through the pages, because he knows the responsibility and stewardship of what it takes to know the word and give the word. And I'm using him as an example, because spiritual parenting is not just something that you receive when you're 6 months to a year in of being a new believer. It's something that you do throughout your entire journey of knowing the Lord. I think of Pastor Mel. I get to get an opportunity to walk into the office and in the space where she works most days. And the way that she responds in faith, the way that she responds in peace, the way that she responds in love every single day, that is honestly a woman who is prepared to be a spiritual parent to the next generation. You know, we are blessed with so many in this church, and I know that they're not doing it for the fame. I don't know why that's funny, but I was trying to think of something funny to say, but no. No, they're doing it because they absolutely understand the responsibility that God's given them to steward the next generation. It's not until these people get to heaven where they will truly understand and recognize what they've sown into the next generation and even into my life. And I know that because of the deposit they've given me and they've deposited in me, I want to do the same for the next generation. Amen. And I believe I have some people in the room who agree with me and are ready to do that journey themselves as well. And so I'm going to deposit three keys for you today. But before that, spiritual parents are also found throughout the Word. You have to look at Jesus. You know, he had his 12 disciples. He spiritually parented them and then sent them out into the nations. We look at Paul in 1 Corinthians. He refers to the people he's speaking to as my children. That means that he has assumed himself as a spiritual parent over them. And lastly, we look at Moses, and he's the guy we're going to really look at today and take his model on today. As I came before God, in preparing this message, I asked him what he wanted to share with us today, and I felt God speak to me about learning what it means to steward the responsibility God has given us as spiritual parents to the next generation. And so today's message is called Raising the Next Generation. Maybe in this room you felt like you have nothing to give the next generation. Maybe you've been lazy, and some thoughts of laziness is popping into your mind right now. Maybe you feel like you need a refining and refiring because you've done this whole next gen thing before and they've worn you out. Yeah. No matter where you are with this topic today, I believe this message is for you. And before we go any further, I'd love to pray. Just close your eyes and bow your heads for me. God, today I ask that we would that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are saying to the church. Awaken in us a passion for the next generation to know your word and to know you well. I pray we would take on the responsibility of nurturing and raising the next generation. I rebuke any thoughts of having nothing to give. I rebuke laziness and selfishness of us today towards this topic. I ask, would you repair today any hurts and emotional exhaustions that come from serving the next generation and reignite us into all you're calling us to do? And above all, we ask your kingdom come and your will be done here today in and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's take a look at Moses' instructions for us as we prepare ourselves to carry the next generation as he's done. He wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 6, letters of instructions to a generation to fulfill the responsibility of modeling to the generation to come. Faith and relationship with God. Moses knows what it takes to raise the next generation. He lives it not once, but twice. And I believe Moses has left us some really important keys to help us steward the responsibility as spiritual parents to the next generation. We can take from this man's wisdom and see how we can apply it to be raisers of the next generation ourselves. Let's start in verses 1 to 5, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We observe in these verses some strong instructions. And in summary, these verses say these are the commands from the Lord to you. You observe them. You fear the Lord. You hear and you observe that everything be well with you and things will multiply for you. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. In summary, these verses speak about receiving personally and living out your own personal relationship with Jesus. Point number one today, if you are to steward the next generation, I believe it starts with receiving personally. And I think that's what Moses is teaching us today. You test him out. You follow his commands. You take on the trials in him. You learn what it takes to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You do it first. You receive personally from him. And basically Moses is saying the next generation can't go where you haven't gone. As God takes me different places across the world, I feel like as a spiritual parent, I'm discipling people from all over in different nations and different spaces. And I can tell you right now, there is no way I'm going to do a good job at that unless I'm receiving from Jesus every single day. Unless he gives me instruction, who needs prayer? Unless he gives me instruction for a word for someone who's not directly in front of me, but in another nation. I can tell you right now, as mothering Shiloh, there's no way I could do that without knowing Him and receiving everything I need from Him daily. You know, I would snap into anger in a second if it wasn't for Him refining me, teaching me, and guiding me. You know, I remember as Shiloh was young and she's lying there crying, and I've done, ticked all the boxes. She's fed, she's changed her nappy. I don't think she needs sleep. I've gone through the checklist and she's still crying. And I just stood before the Lord and said, Lord, I need your help. What do I do? I don't know what He said in that moment, but I know that something good happened after that. But I'm being serious with you today. There is no way that we can do this mothering journey without Him. And I know there's some mums in the room today who don't yet know Jesus. And I want to ask you guys to just open your heart for a second. Over the next couple of minutes, I'm going to share some biblical truths, and I just want to ask you and encourage you, just open your heart. Open your heart and let God do something in you that maybe you've never let Him do before. I want to tell you about this woman. She was my grade 8 maths teacher. I won't say her name, but I'm trying not to say her name anyway. You know, I would walk into maths class knowing nothing about maths, but knowing everything about how to make some people laugh. And so that was literally my mission. Every time I'd walk into maths, oh, I hate maths, but hey, we got a crowd, what can we do here? I can tell you this woman, she just looked at me constantly with love, with grace, with compassion. Literally, I would walk into the classroom and make it my mission to see how I could make her crack. And somehow, she responded with grace every single time, even to the point where she would wait. I would be the last to leave because I'm still trying to figure out my exercises before recess, and she would sit with me and she would walk them through with me, even though she'd already taught the entire class, but I just wasn't even listening. And, you know, it wasn't until years later where I realized, like, she was a spiritual mom. She was a spiritual parent. Why? Because she showed me what it is to what Jesus looks like in someone. She shone Jesus to me every moment. Every time I walked into that classroom, she represented Jesus to me. And I can tell you right now, there's no way she could have put up with my crap without sitting before the Lord every single morning, coming to work prayed up to take care of me. And I want to encourage all the teachers in the room. You have a next generation that sits before you every day, and I just want to encourage you. You're doing an incredible job. You're doing an amazing job, and I just want to speak and testify that there is a generation sitting in front of you that need to see Jesus through you. And I just encourage you, come to work prayed up. Come to work filled with Jesus every day. Amen. Other people do this. Something I found out about my maths teacher years later, just maybe a year before she passed away, I heard that I heard from her that the Lord used to wake her up in the middle of the night, literally the middle of the night, and put me on her heart, me and my brother, and she used to pray for us in the middle of the night, her and her husband. And I want to encourage and thank and honor those spiritual parents in the room who God wakes you up in the middle of the night to pray for people. I want to thank you and honor you for the time and the sacrifice and the prayers, because they are powerful. And from the next generation to you, I thank you. I thank you so much for those prayers. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. You know, if we haven't been eating and receiving our daily bread from Jesus, we will feel like we have nothing to give. And heck, we might even give the next generation stale bread instead. God needs us to continue receiving everything we need from Him so we can be spiritual parents to the next generation. Let's continue in chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. It tells us this, teach these words God has taught us to the next generation. Talk about these things when we're sitting in our house. Talk about these things of the word when we're walking or lying down or when you wake up. Write them down and keep them on you and near you so you can teach them. In summary, I would say Moses is telling us to teach the word. Teach the word to the next generation. And that's my point. Point number two today is teach the word. If we want to be spiritual parents to the next generation, we must also be prepared to teach the word. We must also take this responsibility on, as Moses is sharing in these verses. Now, these verses aren't saying teach the word from a stage like this. You know, this verse is saying teach the word to the next generation wherever you are, whether you're lying down, whether you're walking on the road, when you're just woken up. This journey is not easy. You know, teaching the word is not easy. You know, often I might shy away from sharing the truth to avoid conflict, to avoid being wrong, to avoid even judgment of being lame. Teenage mothers may shy away from teaching to avoid their teenagers rolling their eyes, or even for me, my 2.5-year-old growling or yelling at me when I'm trying to teach her why it's important to turn the TV off right now. As I said before, I was a youth leader, and I took my youth girls all the way to grade 12, and I remember one night, oh, I was prayed up. Oh, I was ready to give the word, teach the word. I had a beautiful analogy. I had some great activities and we were going to land on some awesome time of prayer. And I was so excited about it. I got into the room and things were going really well. It was halfway through the message and it was going really well. One of the girls says, I'm hungry. I paused and then continued like a good leader should. Ignore what is not of the Lord. I kept continuing to preach, continued to deliver the word. Another girl says, I'm also hungry. Woo, I had a problem on my hands. So I told him, don't worry. After this, we'll all get into my car. We'll go to Macca's. I'll make sure of it. Continued with my word. The girl says, oh, that's okay. I'll go now. The other girl says, yeah, I'll go too. Next minute, I'm sharing the word to an empty room. And I can tell you, my youth pastor, he taught me that even if no one rocks up to Connect Group, you are still to deliver your message. So I can tell you right now, I was up in that refuel room up there and that house came falling down. There was just no one to receive it. Hey, that might feel like you in the room today. Maybe you feel like you're preaching to an empty room, you're teaching to an empty room. Maybe you're a teenager, you feel like you're teaching to an empty room, you're sharing the word to an empty room. Connect leaders, I want to encourage you. The word says, teach the word. The word says, teach the word. Don't avoid those eye rolls. Don't avoid those growls. Don't avoid those empty rooms. Just keep teaching the word because that's what the Bible says for us to do if we're going to raise the next generation. And I can tell you, let me read a message from you. Years and years later, I get these messages regularly, but I want to read this one specifically. Hey, Tino. That used to be my nickname. Thank you, Feli, for keeping the legacy going. This is what it reads, word for word. I copied it from, I scrolled back through the messages and copied it. Now, this is word, oh, yeah, this is word to word what you said. So, I'll get there. First time. I promise to you, though, I think and will always believe in the God you instructed me to. You can tell I live a much different life now, but I still pray to him almost every night. And I mean that when I say it. One thing yous taught me, I didn't teach her English, is word for word, is I can always turn to him, always, through any situation. That's why I'm still here today, learning and pushing through life. Teaching his word pays off in the long run. Let this testify to you. youth leaders, parents, just keep teaching. There is a hurt and broken generation out in our world, and they need to experience the love of Jesus. We have a next generation coming in through these doors at Nations Church most weekends. We need to be available to parent them, give them the wisdom and guidance from the Word. There is always someone you can be helping to walk through this journey of knowing Jesus with. It's not about whether you have time or not. It's about whether you are ready to sacrifice your comforts for the next generation, whether you are serious about taking on this responsibility God has given us. Let's commit to calling, to the calling of being spiritual parents, and teach the Word to the next generation. Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 to 19. Moses starts to say, "You shall do this, you shall not do that." In summary, he's sharing with us, live the Word completely. My final point for tonight is live the Word completely. Moses is saying, as spiritual parents, if we want to impact the next generation, we need to live completely for Jesus and consistently, no matter where we are. We need to draw a line in the sand with what we believe and who we are. And if we are full of faith 1 minute and absent of faith the next, that's hard to follow. This is something Shannon and I found is important with our home and raising Shiloh. As a household, as a family, we don't just praise in church, but we also have praise parties at home. You know, I remember we were at work one day, and we were working a bit late, and my housemate came home first, and I came home to her and Shiloh having a praise party in the house. And I can tell you right now, living completely models to the next generation that what happens in here is not just a church-structured faith, but it's a faith that we live out no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. And why I don't want Shiloh growing up thinking that we do all these things at church and never do them anywhere else. But not only that, we genuinely want to live out our relationship with Jesus completely. No matter where we are, we genuinely want to praise Him in our own homes. And if I'm not going to praise like this, if I'm going to praise like this here, then I'm going to praise like this elsewhere too. Worship team, I want to invite you to join me. As a home and a family, we pray for healing when someone is sick. We don't just believe for healing in church or when someone invites us to join them in prayer for someone. We believe completely. You know, a few months ago, I had my appendix out, and it was a bit of a recovery time. And when I got home from the hospital, I was just vegging out on the couch for a bit. And I think Charlotte was in the room with me, and just out of nowhere she comes. She just lays hands on my stomach. Jesus! It was genuinely like that. It was just real passionate. She says, "No more sick. Mummy, no more sick. Amen." And then she asked me, "How do you feel?" Before I even got a chance to answer, she started praying over me again. "Jesus, no more sick. Amen." And just walks off. Don't want to hear about it. I just know it's done. You know, I want to challenge you. You all have homes to go home to. You all have rentals. Maybe some of you are renting together. I want to encourage you. Your home is a weapon. Your home is a weapon. You know, I moved out of home prematurely in my mind, but the Lord asked me to, so I did it. I wasn't ready to give up my mom's meals, but she delivered them to my house anyway. And once I'd moved out, the Lord spoke to me about starting a prayer meeting at my house every Thursday night. I said, "Lord, they already do that at church. You don't need to worry about that." He said, "I need you to do that." And I can't begin to explain to you the magnitude of what God did in those prayer meetings. And they weren't just limited to our youth ministry, but we were inviting people from all over, from different churches. You know, we ended up doing them by Shelley Foreshore eventually, and people would walk by, past late at night on the path, and we started praying for them. They asked what we were doing. You know, we saw in those prayer meetings prophecies fulfilled. We saw people healed. We saw people fall down in the presence of God. We saw God move in so many ways, and He taught me so much through it, only because I was prepared to live completely, not just a church structured kind of faith. Moses was right. If we want to see the next generation living in truth and wholeness, we need to leave an example of living for Jesus completely. You see, Moses in Deuteronomy 6, he hadn't just called the senior leaders in the he hadn't just called them in to hear the message. You know, he hadn't just called the mature people. He'd called everyone. He'd called everyone to share this message with them. This is a calling for all of us to receive. No matter what stage of life we're in, it's time for us to step into the calling and accept the responsibility of raising the next generation. Who will respond to the calling? Who's going to step up in their calling? Who's going to commit to this calling, to receive for themselves, to teach the word and to live the word? My prayer is that this message just sparked a match in you, lit a new fire, sparked something in you, ignited a new fire, a fresh passion, or inspired you to believe for more in your own life and for the next generation you may already lead. God is calling us to raise and commit to being spiritual parents to the next generation. Whether you are a mother, a parent, whether they're yours or someone else's, His cry for us today is He will give us everything we need. We just need to commit to receiving from Him personally. We need to commit to teaching even when it's hard, no matter where we are or what we're doing, and continue living out His ways completely in every area of our lives. Can I get you all to stand? Before we come to a close, I want to pray for you all. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. If you've heard this message today and something in this message spoke to you, struck something in you, you feel like God's speaking to you about something personally in your life, whether it come from any of those three points today, I just want to ask you, would you raise your hands to say yes to the call, to say yes to the commitment? Maybe you do it already, but you're believing for more. Maybe you feel like it's you that needs to sit before the Lord a bit more to raise the next generation. Maybe it's you who feels like you need to be able to teach more. Maybe God's convicting you about living completely. Just raise your hands right now. I want to pray for you. Father God, I lift up these people with their hands raised and everyone else in this room. I pray everyone would recognize that they are called. And I cast out any thoughts of disqualification that the enemy has written in their thinking. I pray, Lord God, that everyone would take courage to respond to the call today. I declare we would be committed to receiving from you personally. I declare we'll be committing ourselves to teaching your word to the next generation everywhere we go, Father God. I declare we would be completely committed to living your word and a life solely for you everywhere we go, Father. I declare, Lord God, that we as a church, Lord, you would use us to pray for the next generation. Would you reveal to us where there is more we can be walking in and believing for the next generation? And I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.